Calgary Show Services presents the Event Planning Podcast, featuring interviews with industry professionals to help you produce your next event.
So we're speaking with Kathy McRae from Creative Weddings, and you can find her at creativeweddings.ca.
That's correct. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me for the podcast.
Oh, it's a privilege. We're excited to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your business and the services that you offer.
Creative Weddings Planning and Decor primarily focuses on planning. That was our original thing when we got into the industry. In terms of planning, we do everything from full service coordination, where we help a couple plan everything in their wedding, from finding their vendors, working with them throughout the, I'm going to say, the timeline leading up to it, whether it's a year, year and a half, working with them to make sure everything's in place. At the opposite end of the spectrum, we have day of coordination, it's called. It's more like month of coordination. And that's where the clients find all of their own vendors. But we're there to help make sure things are going to run smoothly on the day and manage it so that they can enjoy their wedding along with their family and friends.
So are you coordinating the vendors for them, or are they setting out?
With day of coordination, they find the vendors. And so they hire them, they do the contracts. And the reason we like to meet with them about a month out is that gives us an opportunity to go through the contracts with them. And because these clients are often planning a wedding for the first time, they haven't planned something on this large a scale size before. So also by doing it 4 weeks out, 4 to 6 weeks out, that gives us a chance to go through it. If there was perhaps a few details omitted or things that they didn't even consider, that gives us a little bit of problem-solving time.
So when you have your first meeting, are you providing kind of a template, like these are some of the things to consider and these are some of the vendors that you might want to reach out to?
We do that a little bit. When we're working with, I'm going to say, our full service coordination, that's where we're going to be recommending vendors. So for example, photographers, I talk to the clients, I get an idea what they're looking for, and then I send them some links to some photographers that I think who might be a good fit. And it might be style-wise, price-wise is obviously always an important one, but who's going to be able to best provide for the services that this couple requires. From there, the couple then will choose which ones they like from looking through the photographer's website portfolios. And then we set up meetings for them to go meet with those photographers, get some additional information so they can make the choice that's best for them. And we go through this process sort of with each of the vendors. But I know with the full service coordination, one of the benefits is that the clients can have the peace of mind knowing that the vendors they're hiring will do the job, can deliver quality product, and they don't have to do, I'm going to say, all the reference checks and things that ultimately someone doing it on their own has to be responsible for.
So on the actual day of, are you creating the timeline for the vendors, like this person's
arriving? Yes, even with our day of coordination program, that's a critical one, is we're going to sit there and once again put the timeline together, what it looks like. Some people call it a production schedule, but what's going to happen? For example, even talking with some of the, you know, our clients, they'll say, oh, well, everyone's going to sit down right now. Well, the fact is when you need 150 people to sit down, they don't sit down fast and there's a little bit of cattle prodding involved and things. So we have to allow a certain amount of time for that to happen. We have that expertise that we can bring to the table to help make sure that that event is going to run smoothly, at least from the guest's appearance. There's little things even to make sure, often like a DJ will be there and will be announcing different events that come up. Well, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been at a wedding where they've called the bride up to do, say, the bouquet toss, and she's not even in the room because she's in the bathroom, and it's a 10-minute process when you're in a wedding dress. So before any of that, that's part of our job as well, is we're going to make sure that all the necessary parties are ready to go.
And so you're going through the contracts of the of the vendors and just making sure that they're covering their bases, they're going to do what they say they're going to do, they're going to have all the information that they need.
Right. One of the things I find as well happens is, and this is, as I said, with going through the contracts is something we do prior to couples signing them with more of our full planning clients, is a lot of people get a contract and maybe it's because of sometimes the legalese that's worded in it, or maybe it's due to the length, they don't actually read through the contract. So we want to make sure that there's no surprises for that couple. Once again, a lot of the vendors are people that we recommend and we know that on a regular basis. But for example, a very popular one that comes up is a cake cutting fee. So when a couple chooses to have their wedding at a venue, unless they are getting their cake from the venue, they're bringing wedding cake in. The venue will charge a separate fee to cut the cake, which can be as, you know, I've seen as high as $4 to $6 per guest. And if the client isn't expecting that, that can come as quite a shock to them.
And so that's basically covering the labor of their staff to cut the cake?
First of all, cutting wedding cake is not something that most people are trained to do. It's not the same as cutting a regular cake that, you know, birthday cake that we might pick up at the grocery store. There is an art to it, and they have to usually have a trained pastry chef stay in the building to cut that cake, wow. Which is why that fee is there.
Yeah, I never would have known this if we hadn't spoken.
That's why we, as I said, we do our homework and stuff. So, and once again, we're advocates for our clients. So when they're, we want to make sure that we've gone through those contracts and can highlight any important details for them before they actually do the signing and make sure that they understand what they're signing.
Are there any other unique hidden costs that you can think of up top?
One that's there that's important that clients need to understand is, especially with venue costs, there's something called force de majeure. And that is involved if something prevents the venue from holding the event. So a couple of years ago with the floods that hit Calgary, a lot of our downtown hotels trying to get out to, with the highway out, Canmore was a problem and things like that. There's usually something in the contract that says if for any reason something happens and the venue cannot hold the event, they're not actually giving you all your money back. It just means the event will be rescheduled at a later date. And a lot of people didn't know that. So some of the people started planning other events thinking they're going to get all their money back, went to another venue, and all of a sudden there was a problem. So there are some things, as I said, that you have to read through and be aware of, partly to mostly to protect yourself. Another one that they hear about a lot that causes a lot of confusion is there's something that's called a SOCAN and a resound fee. If you have live music at your event, so for example, you hired musicians to play at your ceremony or a guitar player that's coming in or a band that's coming in, you have live musicians, most of them are unionized, so you pay a set fee. If you have a DJ playing, there is another fee. And basically that resound and SOCAN fee, it's going back to the artists. And to be fair, it's only pennies in total because I think it's about $75.
And where do you go to get the size?
It's usually in your venue contract when you see that, and they'll mention it. But a lot of people say, well, why is this there? What's this fee? And it's part of it. And it's just, it's basically based on the size of the room and the number of guests you have, as well as whether there's dancing or there's no dancing.
Have you done many weddings outside of Calgary?
We are very fortunate living in Calgary to have this great, I call it our playground, in the back. So we do a lot of weddings in Canmore and Banff and Lake Louise. We use the term for a lot of those weddings. They're destination weddings. They're not the, you know, obviously palm trees on the beach, but they're much more affordable for a lot of couples. A lot of times that family can come, especially if they have family in different areas, it might be a common place to meet. And the other thing we're seeing with weddings now is it's not just sort of the one day. We call it, we're having an experience. So for example, especially like in winter, there might be, you know, a rehearsal, but then maybe everyone's getting together at like a Delta Kananaskis, there's a skating pond and stuff, and you can have a s'more bar and stuff like that.
What were some of the special considerations that that you would have for a destination wedding like that?
Couples can get wedding insurance. In fact, it's something we usually recommend. They can check through the regular insurance provider. But there's also one called Wedding Pal, like your friend, your buddy, Pal, Wedding Pal Insurance. And that covers them with a lot of things regardless. So, for example, even if one of them became really, really ill and had to have surgery or something and the wedding had to be postponed, it's going to protect them. There's things there as well regarding, you know, let's say all the air, you know, at Calgary International Airport, all the workers go on strike. So planes can't land and people can't get in and land at the airport. Those kind of things it'll help protect them from as well.
And is there anything specific to working within Canmore or Banff as opposed to Calgary?
One of the things that people do need to be aware of as potential clients and stuff is that as a vendor, it's our professional responsibility to have a business license. So for example, I have one for Calgary. Because I'm not out every weekend, it sort of depends on how many I have throughout the year. I will purchase a business license from the Banff area and the Canmore, etc. A lot of times it might just be a simple day license that I have to apply and get. Or if there's enough weddings happening over a period of time, I'll get one for the year.
What would you recommend for people who are trying to set their budget? And how can you help your customers to stay within their budget?
Okay, probably one of the biggest things that people need to recognize and understand is they're saying now the average wedding in Canada ends up costing for about 100 people, I'm going to say between $30,000 and $35,000. Okay, obviously there are things that you choose to add which will cost you more. And especially as you increase your guest list, those costs go up quite a bit exponentially. So that is sort of the target that a lot of people are looking at. Can you do a wedding for less? Yes, the answer is obvious there. But you really have to start thinking smart and making choices. And I would say even with our regular couples who are looking at that, it still comes down to prioritizing. But at our company, we work really hard. And I believe I talk about education. How do you make a decision about what's important without knowing what things cost? Some of the people I know that will come in, especially of our day of coordination, they'll, when they get engaged, they go say to Chapters or Indigos and they buy the fancy little wedding planner book, or they will go on, the Brides Magazine website or The Knot, which is also another very popular website, and they'll have suggested budgets. But the thing is, the budgets change from area to area. If you compare, we have numerous talented photographers in our area, and if you compare it, say, to the Midwestern United States, our photographers cost a lot more. So where they might get a photographer, I'm going to say, in the $2,000 range, here you're looking more at $4,000. So for the similar product and stuff. So we have to really work through with our clients and help them decide what's important and encourage them to, and I used to say, make smart decisions.
What about the do-it-yourselfer? Like, from my perspective, you know, I could see how people would think that they might be saving money by not hiring an event coordinator and then trying to do it themselves and ending up, not knowing about the cake cutting, not knowing about all these little things that you could inform them
of. We have a number of clients that will come in, and sometimes they've, like, for example, I have one client who, she came in and she was really excited because she got this awesome deal on her venue, and she was comparing her venue to pricing that she perhaps would have gotten at, say, some of the hotel ballrooms. And she was super excited about it. She was saving, I'm going to say, a couple of $1,000s off it and stuff. However, as we started looking at it, the tables in the venue are a much smaller size table than, I'm going to say, we talk usually a regular table in the industry is a 5 foot round, which accommodates about 8 people. If you start adding more than that, it's quite a tight fit and your guests are fairly uncomfortable. But the tables that she has at her venue are 4 foot tables. So the problem is, while she's saving money there, now that she's having to put centerpieces on each one of those tables, she needs more tables for her guests. Same thing is they don't make linens. No, they do make linens for 4 foot tables, but the standard is 5. So she's got way more options if she goes with a 5 foot. And once again, she needs more linens, period, to cover those tables with the 4 foot.
Right.
So if she had talked to us before she got her venue, it doesn't mean she still might not have chosen that venue. But when we look at I'm going to call it the pros and cons list of, and I always believe it's important for clients to compare vendors and such with, I use the phrase, apples to apples. So another very common one is a lot of people think that a community center wedding is less expensive than having it in, I'm going to say, a venue like a hotel or a restaurant. Well, on the initial part, when you just compare the actual rental fees, it is. But when you rent a hotel ballroom, that already includes all your tables and chairs, and it includes their team setting that up for you. It already includes basic linens. It already includes all the glassware, dinnerware, flatware, and they look after all the catering. You go to the community center, someone has to put up all those chairs and tables. They may or may not have the type of chairs you want or enough of them, so you have to bring that in. You or your caterer has to bring in all the linens for those tables, which they got to get paid for regardless. Usually as well, you also have to bring in all that glassware, flatware and stuff. And there's some great rental companies that you can get that. But if you're going to compare the actual prices of that, you need to make sure that you've accounted for that when you're looking and comparing the two venues.
How important is a theme for your wedding?
I think there should be, I'm going to say, some kind of theme, in terms of that it grounds the event and it sort of acts as a guideline for what we're doing. But it doesn't have to be a kitschy theme. Like, we don't need to have a theme like pirates or right, you know, circus theme or something like that. Often the theme can be as simple as just related to the color choices that they make. A lot of brides will talk about the, and when I say brides, I mean grooms as well. We're seeing more and more grooms getting involved in the planning of the wedding. But it might be the style that they're used to. So when we're making a decision, we go back and say, is this, you said you wanted these three words to what your wedding to be like. Does this match that? And once again, ultimately it's the client's decision, but that's where we're there kind of as a, I'm going to say, a guiding force to kind of keep it centered and keep it focused.
What kind of trends have you noticed in the wedding industry? Or what could you see coming up in the next few years?
In terms of a food service, we're seeing people liking the idea, I'm going to say, of action stations and such. So it might turn into more of a cocktail-like reception. Definitely with the flowers, you're seeing much looser arrangements often. A lot more greenery coming back. In fact, you're seeing some of the arrangements being built right on the tables. Like, people are moving away. Partly is due to Pinterest and stuff, but you're not seeing the round tables as much. People like the long rectangular tables we call harvest tables. Instead of having the plated dinners put in front of us, we're doing what's called family style dining. So you've got a group of people sitting around the table, and just like you might Sunday night at home, they're bringing out the food and people are taking what they want and moving around. You look at sometimes the weddings that are featured on blogs or in magazines and stuff, and it's not necessarily that someone spent a ton of money on the wedding. It's the coordination of the details together. It's the look. Does it, you know, even sometimes when we're talking with one of our divisions here at Creative Weddings, is we have a floral division as well. So when we're talking with clients about flowers, we're saying, if we were to go put a bunch of bouquets in the hallway and a whole bunch of centerpieces, you should be able to go down the row and see and pick out the two that go together and stuff. So we want to keep some consistency. It doesn't mean they look identical, but there has to be some common elements in it. And the elements that we see might carry over to the color that's used in the linens. And even though, you know, it might be what appears on the stationery, which is also perhaps worked in as part of the color that's the bridesmaids' dresses and on the groomsmen.
What about social media at the weddings themselves, like Twitter hashtag that people might be, you know, Instagramming or that kind of thing?
Social media is a huge part of our culture. There are people who are trying to stop and sort of say that, you know, no cell phone pictures. In reality, I don't think that's going to happen. So if we're going to do it, I'll often encourage our couples to come up with a hashtag and stuff, so A, they can kind of see what's out there. But to me, it also works into the excitement of the event, and people are going to do it regardless. I know we will make a statement during the ceremony. We'll have the officiant ask people to please at least remain in their seats and such, so that the photographers can do that work. And I know actually that's becoming a bigger role, is where the photographer's trying to move around and I'm actually asking people to get out of the aisle so that they can do their
get
work
the shot that they need
and such. But people are excited about the moment, and they're excited to share. So to come up with a fun hashtag that people, and you announce it at the wedding and stuff like that, so that people can at least direct them a certain way. And the fact is, you will also then sometimes get some, you know, those are the photos you're going to see right away, because your photographers will take anywhere from a month to two to get your photographs back to you.
Mm-hmm. What about working with the audiovisual technicians? A topic that's close to home
for yeah. me. they are really, really important. As I said, I look at it when we were planning a wedding, everybody has their specialties and such. So we want to make sure that that's there. Most times with the venues, they may have somebody on staff already that will do the initial setup. Once again, that can be an area that we've got to make sure people understand the costs associated with that. At, you know, people say, well, I want to have a slideshow. Okay, well, if you're going to have a slideshow, then you've got to make sure you've got a screen, you've got to make sure you've got a projector. And then the other question is, who's going to work it? We also, there's some of the people will set up, have their AV set up before, but there's not someone on site at the time. So for example, if people are doing speeches throughout the dinner, there's no one there to work the sound. And you have, for example, maybe the maid of honor gets up, she's very quiet, soft-spoken, and she doesn't get close enough to the mic because she's afraid of it. Then comes along Uncle John, who's like shouting into the mic and everyone's going deaf. So I prefer to have someone there working that sound and able to make the adjustments. Some of the weddings we do, though, are more, I'm going to say, complicated in terms of the sound and the lighting and such, and we end up hiring a different company entirely who's used to doing, I'm going to say, productions to come in and look after all of those details.
Great. If you're stranded on a desert island and you could only have one meal for the rest of your life every single day, what would it be?
Chocolate-covered strawberries. there's fruit in there. It's good for you.
A short life, sweet, but yeah. An enjoyable yeah. one.
Okay, I'm going to hope I could fish and stuff like that. I'm going to stick with that one.
Yeah, okay. Where can people find more about your company and how can they contact you?
Okay. Our website is creativeweddings.ca. So no spaces or anything. So creativeweddings.ca. As I said, we do planning, we do design and decor. We have a floral division. We do stationery as well. So for some of our clients, it's one-stop shopping. Other people come in and just need certain aspects of it, and that works just well. We can also be reached by phone at 1-888-790-6986. So that was 1-888-790-6986.
Perfect. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us, and I'm sure that the people listening got a lot out of this.
Well, we appreciate it, and thank you for the opportunity. We look forward to hearing some of the other people you're talking with. So.
Great. Cheers. Okay.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was produced by Duncan Kenworthy, Eric Jesse, and Chris Benoit. Please join us in 2 weeks for the next event planning podcast and visit us online at calgaryshowservices.com to join our monthly newsletter for inventory updates and event insights.